Baruch ata Yehovah Eloheinu Malach Haolam Asher Natan Lanu Torah Emet V'Chayei Olam Batekeinu. Baruch ata Yehovah Natein Ha Torah Bashem Yeshua Hamashiach Ha Ola Olam. Amen. Blessed are you, Yehovah, our Elohim, King of the universe, who gives us the Torah of truth and planted everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehovah, giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen. Another great reading. Leviticus, such an easy, isn't it? Who thinks it's easy? Who thinks it's very, very hard? Quiet. Yeah, everyone thinks it's easy. I think it's hard. I think it was a good reading, especially combined with New Testament readings. It gives a little bit more better understanding, gives wider, you know, it's instead of narrowing down to certain mindset, it actually opens up and gives us a bigger picture. So that's why it's good to read all the scripture. Let me just start with a prayer. Heavenly Abba, Yehovah Eloheinu Malach Haolam, thank you for your word. Please open our eyes to see and our hearts to understand your truth. Let your word reach the darkest corners of our souls, bringing light, transformation, and life to our lives. In Yeshua's precious name. Amen. So let me just quickly just recap what we read in Leviticus. So today's parasha, which is called Tzav, means meaning, you know, give an order. It's really is a logical continuation of the previous parasha, and Minister Sean covered last week a lot. So there's a lot of similarities between, and also a lot of differences, significant differences. So both parashas are dealing with sacrifices and offerings to Yehovah, as directed by Yehovah through Moshe. However, if the previous parasha talks about the way how sacrifices and offerings have to be done by the people of Israel, today's parasha instructs how the same offerings and sacrifices needed to be done by Aharon and his sons, the priests. Furthermore, there was an additional consecration offering for Aharon and his sons, as they were representing the people of Israel before Yehovah. So therefore, the consecration offering was part of dedication ceremony. And as you read, all the community of Israel was gathered in front of the tent of meeting to witness this special event. So apart from the consecration offering, all other offerings, as I said, were the same. However, different details were given about how those offerings and sacrifices to be done by the people, as we read in a previous parasha, and how offerings needed to be done by the priests, as we read today. So different instructions. That's pretty much it in covering the aspects of the what actually what Leviticus actually been covered. But I want to go a little bit on a different aspects of that, and more sort of what we've been reading today in Ketuvim HaShelachim in New Testament. I understand that in today's setting of life, talking about sacrifices which were observed in its fullness for the last, we observed for its fullness, you know, last time for, you know, 2,000 years ago. And that can be overwhelming and certainly confusing. Well, let's face it, we live in a different times and different cultural settings. It is not our customs to do sacrifices, and the only way we can actually know about them is by reading the Torah. Some people put a lot of emphasis on studying the sacrificial system of the Torah and whether it will be reestablished in the future. I don't personally have a problem with people studying the Torah. It is must for everyone. What, however, I'm personally struggling with when people who do this are compelled to press others to comply with their personal discoveries, whatever discovery it might be. And if the people do not share the same view, then somehow they have a spiritual problem to resolve. I'm struggling with this. Certainly, there may be a spiritual problem, which, in my view, may have nothing to do with the sharing the same view. We are all on a spiritual journey in life, and I'm talking about us, the believers, the followers of Yeshua, the one who loves Yehovah. And we all, I certainly hope, study the word diligently. But we do this at our own individual pace and ability, which are based on many, many various factors. Knowledge is good when it builds you up, rather than discouraging you or putting you down. Knowledge cannot be taken as a pill or be forced upon anyone. Well, I don't know about you, but I think most of you will agree with me. As for me, I need to discover things for myself. I need to put the scripture through my heart and my mind. And sometimes it takes time to see certain things, to understand and reconcile certain views. And sometimes just when you think you know something, you stumble and just realize that actually you were wrong. To understand certain places in Scripture is only possible when you have the right experience in life. And sometimes Yehovah will put you through various situations in life just to make a point. Then one day you read the Scripture and you say to yourself, ah, that's what it means. The point is, we need to grow in Yehovah at our own pace, and we need to allow others to do the same. Knowledge, no matter how good it seems, is only beneficial and can change your life when it comes directly from Yehovah. So I want to encourage you. So if you feel like you've been pressed into something or share some point of view, step back and ask Yehovah for help and revelation. Hebrews 13:9-16. Do not be carried away by various strange teachings. For what is good is for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by food. People who have made this focus of their lives have not benefited thereby. We have an altar from which those who serve in the tent are not permitted to eat. For the Kohen Haggadah brings the blood of animals into the holiest place as a sin offering, but their bodies are burnt outside the camp. So too, Yeshua suffered death outside the gate in order to make the people holy through his own blood. Therefore, let us go out to him who is outside the camp and share his disgrace. For we have no permanent city here. On the contrary, we seek the one to come. Through him, therefore, let us offer Elohim a sacrifice of praise continually. For this is a natural product of lips that acknowledge his name. But don't forget doing good and sharing with others. For with such sacrifices, Elohim is well pleased. The point is, we can learn about the sacrifices of the Torah or anything else for that matter. As we read in today, we can think that we know something that others don't know or understand. But that is when we can be lost in our own knowledge and easily miss the point of the scripture. 1 Corinthians 8:1-3. Knowledge puffs a person up with pride, whereas love builds up. The person who thinks he knows something doesn't yet know in the way he ought to know. However, if someone loves Elohim, Elohim knows him. Elohim knows him. It's interesting that when Yeshua was talking about same from different point of view. Written in Matthew 7:21-23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, only those who do what my Father in heaven wants. On the day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we expel demons in your name? Didn't we perform many miracles in your name? Then I will tell them to their face, I never knew you. Get away from me, the workers of lawlessness. So it is really not about what we know. We may, in actual fact, know all scripture by heart. Israel's religious leaders knew the scripture better than the common, often uneducated people, yet they denied Yeshua his right and they killed him. So it just proves the point. It is not about what we know by our mind, but where our heart is. It is about whether Yeshua, our Heavenly Father, know us. Then I will tell them to their faces, I never knew you. Therefore, in my view, there is a little or no benefit in debating, for example, whether there will be sacrifices in the future or any other hot topics that people seem to get caught up in. Yes, those topics needs to be studied in study groups if one wishes to do so. But we need to understand that Yehovah is not bound in temple made by human hands. Scripture is clear about that. Though some people seem too eager to put him back in the four corners of the walls, he is not constrained to printed and not perfectly translated versions of the scripture. If Yehovah wants something, he will let his people know to all his people at his time, and that will be clear, loud, and direct. We don't need to guess and argue about it, and we certainly don't need to put people down. However, if we argue about things we do not know for sure or have little understanding, we are missing the point. As we read in 1 Corinthians, knowledge puffs a person up with pride, whereas love builds up. I believe our priorities should be to do everything in our power to build each other up as a community and as individuals, which is only possible in love. Work hard on unity with our community that we may function as one body which is not crippled but able to succeed in doing Yehovah's work. For what I desire is mercy, not sacrifices, knowledge of Elohim more than burnt offerings. We've been reading, well, we haven't been reading, but it's in Hosea 6:6. I didn't put a slide here. And look, often people are happy to do sacrifices to Yehovah by displaying their understanding of the Torah on the expense of peace and unity. Truth should not be compromised, agreed. But knowledge without love can do little, if nothing at all. Yohanan, John 13, 34 to 35. And we're reading this every time. I'm giving you a new commandment that you keep on loving each other in the same way that I have loved you. You are also to keep on loving each other. Everyone will know that you are my Talmudim by the fact that you have love for each other. This is a jewel. This is the heart of the whole scripture. If you just understand this one sentence, that's all you need to know. Listen to this again. Everyone will know that you are my Talmudim by the fact that you have love for each other. In other words, the only way we can be Yeshua's followers, if we are recognized as people who have love for each other. Not how much we know Torah, not how much we think we understand. No. By displaying love for each other. This is big. Can we be recognized as such people? When some walked in here, or walk, not just walked in, come here, stay for one time, or come for a month or two, can the people recognize that we are the one who display such love, or will they just leave? And I think we don't need, you know, I think we're all smart people, and we know how many people come and go. And the question we have to ask, why? Of course, everyone looking for different things, but the question remains, have we done everything? Have we displayed love? Have we showed love for each other? Or maybe when new people come in, we overload them with our knowledge and understanding of Scripture and pressing them to do the same, to follow. It doesn't work like that. Everyone has to grow at its own pace. We have to be smarter if we are to be His light. So, a new commandment, as I said, I read before, a new commandment I give you. But as we know, it wasn't a new commandment. We know that. And we've been reading this all the time. And we've been reading, I think it's on our newsletters. Read it again, Matthew 22, 36 to 4. Rabbi, which of these misquoted the Torah is the most important? He told him, You are to love Yehovah your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. He actually refers here to Deuteronomy 6:5. This is the greatest and the most important mitzvah. And the second, and similar to it, you are to love your neighbor as yourself. Again, he refers here to Leviticus 19:17. All of the Torah and the prophets are dependent on these two mitzvot. However, Yeshua said, in saying, everyone will know that you are my Talmudim by the fact that you have love for each other, highlighted another very important aspect here. We are known as his Talmudim not by displaying love for Yehovah, but by displaying love for each other. What? What is he saying? Is he saying that love for people is more important than love for Yehovah? Of course not. And we just read, Rabbi, which of the mitzvot in the Torah is, if you just previous slide, please, is the most important? He told him, you are to love Yehovah your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And this is the greatest and the most important mitzvah. And the second is similar, you are to love your neighbor as yourself. All of this Torah and the prophets are dependent on this mitzvot. But then why did Yeshua said, you will be known as my Talmudim by the fact that you have love for each other? Yeshua was making a very important point. Remember, he came to the land where everyone claimed New Yah. Everyone is the people of Israel. Everyone followed Yah. So they claimed. So the Pharisees and all the religious leaders had already shown their apparent love for Yehovah. They publicly displayed love for Yehovah and yet treated the people Yehovah entrusted them with by building in them with their own rules and traditions. Matthew 23:3. So whatever they tell you, take care to do, but don't do what they do, because they talk but don't act. And Matthew 23:13-14. But woe to you hypocritical Torah teachers and prushim, for you are shutting the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, neither entering yourself nor allowing those who wish to enter to do so. Remember when I said, when someone new come, we need to be careful not to do the same. It's not about how much we know and how much love we have, how much we understand the person, why this person walked through this door. What is he searching? He's searching something. Yah brought him in, as he brought me, as he brought you. He's searching. And this process of searching, it's a planting a seed. And you have, you know, water it, create the conditions for the person to grow in the way Yah want him to be. Not the way we want him to be. And this, as a plant grows, everyone try to, you do this way, you have to be this way. You do this and push the plant in one way, and another one say, no, you have to go this way. Everyone's so wise and missing the point of love. When we understand that Yah made every single person out there in his image, just because they don't understand, just because they've been blind in their ways, and there could be many reasons why it happens, you know, based on the traditions, environment, culture, family, it doesn't matter. But they still, Yah's creation, Yah still wants to save them. It doesn't make us any better than people out there. So the Pharisees and all the religious leaders displayed the love, displayed apparent love to Yahweh. And yet, in every act, they killed Yeshua, they persecuted their own people. It doesn't matter how much you claim you have love for Yahweh. That is why Yeshua said, come to me. In Matthew 11:28-30, come to me, all of you who are struggling and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I'm gentle and humble in heart. He knew everything, and he said, I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So that is why Yeshua was making a very important point in saying, you will be known as my Talmudim by the fact that you have love for each other. For anyone can claim they have love for Elohim. And as I said, Yeshua came to his land, to his people, where everyone claimed to love Yahweh. Yet the people, the religious leaders that should recognize him, denied him in every way. As Yohanan said in Yohanan 1:11, he came to his own homeland, yet his own people did not receive him. Yeshua was simply saying, you can claim love for Yahweh as much as you want, but if you do not love each other, the love for Yahweh means nothing, meaningless. And the religious leaders of Yeshua's time proved this very point. They claimed love for Yahweh, yet burdened the people. And when Yeshua came, they could not even recognize him. And they probably knew, a lot of them, scripture by heart. This is why our priority should be love for each other. We should work on unity, on building each other up. We should rebuke people harshly who try intentionally or unintentionally to compromise the unity and destroy something they did not build. Love for Yahweh is simply not possible with love for each other. This is why Yeshua, that's what Yeshua was saying. First, Johann and John 2:3-6. The way we can be sure we know him is if we are obedient to his commands. Anyone who says, I know him, but isn't obeying his commands, is a liar. The truth is not in him. But if someone keeps doing what he says, then truly love for Elohim has been brought to its goal in him. This is how we are sure that we are united with him, a person who claims to be continuing in union with him ought to conduct his life the way he did. And what Yeshua did, he said, come to me. Come to me. I'm gentle in heart. 1 John, Yohanan 2:9-11. Anyone who claims to be in this light while hating his brother is still in the dark. The person who keeps loving his brother remains in the light, and this is nothing There is nothing in him that could make him trip. But the person who hates his brother is in the dark. Yes, he is walking in the dark, and he doesn't know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. And Yohanan 8:12, Yeshua spoke to them again, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light which gives life. We will be recognized as his followers if we have love for each other. Therefore, whoever follows Yeshua will never, as we read, walk in darkness, but will have the light which gives light. This is why, I repeat again, our priorities, whether we study scripture or in dealing with each other in the community, must be love for each other. It must be love based. If we have this life, love, we have everything. If you don't know, even if you don't know or understand scripture fully. Philippians 2:1-4. Therefore, if you have any encouragement for me from your being in union with the Messiah, any comfort flowing from love, any fellowship with me in the Spirit, or any compassion and sympathy, then complete my joy by having a common purpose and a common love, by being one in heart and mind. Do nothing out of rivalry or vanity, but in humility regard each other as better than yourself. Look out for each other's interests and not just for your own. Our lives are meant to reflect the holiness of our Creator, of our Heavenly Abba. We are meant to behave properly in the world settings, whether in the family, in the community, at work, or among friends. We are, after all, representatives of the kingdom of Elohim, the kingdom of our Heavenly Abba, the light of the world. Then closer we move to Yehovah, then more refined, clean, and holy we must become. Moving closer to Yehovah means growing spiritually, which will be reflected in our actions and in our lives. And love for Yehovah and love for each other always should be the foundation of who we are, as a sign of our belongingness. Let me finish with these scriptures. Yohanan 13:34. I repeat again, everyone will know that you are my Talmudim by the fact that you have love for each other. Hebrews 13:16. But don't forget doing good and sharing with others, for with such sacrifices Elohim is well pleased. And Romans 12:1. I exhort you, therefore, brothers, in view of Elohim's mercies, to offer yourselves as a sacrifice, living and set apart for Elohim. This will please him. It is a logical temple worship for you.